Hi there, everyone.
Hello, boys and girls.
I have another story all ready for you, and it's one you can read for yourself in the Bible.
You'll find this story in the book of Judges, chapters 6 through 8.
I call it
Mighty Gideon.
After the land of Canaan was distributed among the tribes of Israel, the people became satisfied and indifferent, and they failed, as directed by God, to entirely drive out the inhabitants of the land. There came a time when the Midianites, who had been partially but not completely destroyed in the days of Moses, increased in numbers and became determined to have revenge upon the Israelites. Like locusts in numbers, they came swarming over the land. Year after year they came, as soon as the harvest began to ripen, and remained until the last fruits had been gathered.
But, Mother, we've got to do something to stop the Midianites.
We've done our part, Joash. For 7 years we've done it. Now let someone else fight them. I'm sick and tired of losing sons to the Midianites. All my sons are gone, except Gideon, and I refuse to let him go to war and be killed like the others were.
For 7 long years, we've been molested and oppressed by the Midianites. Our people have had to abandon their homes and fortresses. Do you like that?
That's better than losing my last son.
I heard what you said, Mother, and Well, the people look to us for an example.
Well, then let them look to someone else.
But who, Mother?
Yes, who? There's none who have distinguished themselves for courage and integrity as have our sons. The Midianites right this minute fear Gideon more than any other person in all Israel.
But he's my son, and I refuse to give him up.
But we can't sit idly by and watch the Midianites ravage our land.
If you want to do something to really help our people, Joash, make them return to the worship of the true God.
Worship the God of Abraham and Isaac?
Then we'll start winning battles instead of losing them. You have reason to scorn, Joash. You're the chief offender.
I worship Baal, yes. And I am chiefly instrumental in getting our people to worship Baal. The altar at Ophrah that I erected to Baal is the best thing that ever happened to our tribe.
Please, Mother, Father, don't quarrel.
I can't help it, Gideon. Every time I think of the Midianites and the damage they're doing to our people, I get angry. We're without food, clothing, security. Every minute is wrought with danger.
I have some grain hidden away. I'll thresh it out and we'll have bread for a while.
Grain? Why, Gideon, where did you successfully hide grain from the Midianites?
The season for grapes is so far off, they didn't think to search the wine press.
Oh, you're a good son, Gideon, and wise. No wonder the Midianites fear you.
Well, if you two will promise not to quarrel, I'll go now and thresh out some of that grain.
If the Midianites catch you, son, you know what'll happen. So please do be careful.
I will, Mother. I'll thresh the grain as quietly as possible, out of sight from prying eyes. I wish I knew how to save our people from the Midianites. Oh, Mother's right. God has withdrawn his blessings because we have apostatized. Yet many of our people have confessed. They seem to want to do right and worship the true God.
Greetings, Gideon.
Well, greetings, stranger.
Jehovah, the God of Israel, is with you, mighty man of valor.
Well, if the Lord is with us, why has all this suffering and sorrow at the hands of the Midianites befallen us?
The Lord is with thee.
Well, then where are all the miracles God can perform for us, like he did for our fathers when they came out of Egypt? How is it then that God has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites?
Thou hast been selected by heaven to deliver Israel from the Midianites.
Oh, me?
You doubt my word?
No, I... Oh, I assume that you are a messenger from heaven. An angel?
I am.
Oh, won't you give me some proof, some token that you are actually an angel? Oh, but first I must prove my hospitality. As Abraham did of old, I entreat you to remain as my guest.
And as I did in the case of Abraham, I accept your hospitality.
Oh, fine. If you'll excuse me for a short while, I shall prepare food and cakes. I'll be right back. Here we are. Meat and cakes. Not much, but it will suffice.
Place them here on this rock, Gideon.
On the rock?
You asked for a sign that I am truly an angel. Pour out the broth and lay the meat and cakes on this rock.
Yes, sir. There. You are, sir?
With this staff, I touch the meat and cakes.
Fire! It's consuming the food. My angel, I... Why, he's disappeared. He told me I was to deliver Israel, but he didn't tell me how. Certainly I can't do it if my own knowledge and power...
Gideon!
The angel. Where are you? I can't see you.
Just listen, Gideon, and obey.
Yes, angel.
Gideon, son of Joash, there is in the city of Ophrah an altar of sacrifice to the false god Baal. Destroy that altar.
But angel, that altar was erected by my own father. He will not permit it to be destroyed.
Destroy it in secret during the night.
Yes, I will, angel.
On the very rock where Baal's altar has been, you are to erect an altar to the living God of heaven. And upon that altar, you will offer a fitting sacrifice to God.
Yes, angel of God.
The deliverance of Israel is to be preceded by a solemn protest against the worship of Baal. You must declare war upon idolatry before going out to do battle against the Midianites. Do these things, and thou shalt deliver Israel from her enemies.
With the help of his servants, Gideon destroyed the Baal altar in one night. Great was the rage of the men of Ophrah when they came next morning to pay their devotions to Baal.
I know who did it. I saw it. It was Gideon, son of Joash, of the tribe of Manasseh.
Are you sure it was Gideon?
Yes, I know him when I saw him. In fact, I saw him tearing down the altar, he and his servants.
Well, why didn't you say something about it then?
I thought perhaps he did it to erect a better one in its place.
Joash, did you order your son Gideon to do this evil deed?
I did not.
Down with Gideon! Put him to death! Down with Gideon!
Your attention, please, people! People! People of Manasseh, Gideon, son of Joash, a member of our own tribe, has torn down and destroyed the altar to Baal. What say you? Shall we permit this sacrilege, or shall we properly punish him?
Put him to death!
People of Manasseh, quiet, please. My fellow brethren of Manasseh, you are quick to defend our god Baal. But does Baal need defending? If he be a true god, he is capable of defending himself.
We cannot permit sacrilege to go unpunished.
If Baal cannot protect his own honor or defend his own altar, how can you trust him to protect you?
Joash, elder of Manasseh, are you condoning your son in his act of sacrilege against Baal?
I am merely pointing out that if Baal be a true god, we have no need to defend him. If he is a false god, then we would sin by committing violence in his name.
Perhaps you're right, Joash.
Friends, brethren of Manasseh, I agree with Joash. I suggest that we dismiss all thought of violence against Gideon and see what will happen. Trumpets. What do they mean, Gideon?
It means that I'm not going to stand by one single day and let those Amalekites and Midianites harass us. I'm going to do something about it.
A worthy ambition, I'm sure, but what can you do?
To start with, I'm going to send out a general call for volunteers.
Well, what can I do to help?
Get together some young men as messengers, several hundred. I'll send them to the four corners of the land. You will be my aide-de-camp, Phurah.
Yes, sir, Gideon. Right away, sir.
Men, your attention, please. You are here as volunteer messengers. You are to go throughout all of Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. Say unto all young men of every hamlet and village that they are needed to avenge ourselves of the wrong done to us by the combined armies of the East. All who volunteer are to report here to me as soon as possible. Now go and hurry, lest the armies of the East attack us before you return. Of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. thou hast commissioned me to save Israel from her enemies. I have sent throughout the land for volunteers, but, O God, I cannot lead them against the enemy unless I am assured that thou art with me and shall bless me. If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece in the morning and only on the fleece, then shall I know that thou shalt be with me and deliver the enemy unto my hand. The fleece is wet with dew, yet the ground around it is dry. It is the sign I asked of God. Yet wool naturally absorbs moisture and would be covered with dew, even though the ground is not. O God of mercy and long-suffering, be not displeased with me, but I plead with thee to reverse the sign. Make the ground wet with dew and the fleece dry.
And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. And thousands answered Gideon's call to arms. And Gideon and his army rose up early in the morning and marched and pitched camp beside the well of Herod on the south of Midianite camp in the valley of Jezreel.
The enemy outnumber us 100-1, Gideon.
Perhaps even more than 100-1, Phurah.
Yes, but how can we possibly win against such odds?
We can't, Phurah, but God can. He's been winning wars and performing miracles for our people ever since we left Egypt.
The power of God is too deep for comprehension.
And the messenger of the Lord came to Gideon, saying,
"The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into thy hands, lest Israel become vain, saying that their own hand and efforts hath saved them."
Therefore, men of Israel, I say unto you, whosoever of you are fearful and afraid may go home. Those of you who are unwilling to face danger and hardships may also go home.
But Gideon, we are already too few to fight the enemy. Why make our army yet smaller?
The Lord God of Israel commanded me to reduce the army, saying that it is too large. Men, in keeping with God's command, I order all of you who are afraid, unwilling to face danger, or for any reason wish to return home, to do so at once, now.
Gideon, sir. I don't understand
this. It is hard sometimes, Phurah, to understand the ways of God. He can see things that are hidden to our view. We need only obey, not understand.
And there departed from his army and returned home 22,000 men, leaving Gideon with a force of only 10,000. Once again, the messenger of God appeared unto Gideon and said,
"The people are yet too many. Now, therefore, let the people go down to the water and drink, and I will show thee which are to return home and which are to remain with thee."
Valiant men of Israel, we are now only 10,000 strong. We fight an enemy of thousands upon 10,000s. They are mighty men and strong. We cannot hope to vanquish them except by the power of God. Now I command you, go down to the river's edge and drink of the water so that you thirst not in the heat of battle. As you drink, remember, the enemy may pounce upon us at any time. All right, men, to the river! Yeah, river. Phurah!
Yes, sir.
Watch the men drink. Watch carefully. Tell me what you notice.
Well, sir, some of the men are drinking leisurely. They're down on their knees drinking as if there wasn't an enemy within hundreds of miles. Is that what you mean, sir?
And how are the other men drinking?
Cautiously, sir. Watching, alert, and observing to make sure the enemy comes not upon them unaware. They dip the water up in their hands. But, sir, only a very few, about One in 100 are that cautious.
And thus, Fura, is the character of men revealed. Those men who drink unmindful of the peril of the nearby enemy are men who are not to be trusted in times of emergency. They're self-indulgent, thoughtless of others, and defiled by idol worship. Those men who drank cautiously are men of courage, self-control, faith. They will take deliverance for Israel.
I take it then, sir, that those who drank as if they had not a care in the world are to be released and sent home?
Exactly, Fura.
But, sir, I doubt if there'd be more than 100 or so who drink cautiously.
God can deliver by few as well as by many. Always remember, Fura, that God is honored not by the numbers, but by the character of those who serve him.
Yes, sir. I just finished counting them, sir. Only 300 men drank cautiously.
Send the others home, Fura.
But, sir, 300 men against an enemy so numerous that there is the sands of the sea. Yes, sir. For me, sir?
Yes, Fura. I'm going down in the valley. Spy on the enemy. You're going along.
Yes, sir. Just what will we be looking for in the enemy camp, sir?
The angel of the Lord appeared unto me and said that I would hear something that would give me courage.
Hear something?
Yes, I can well understand your amazement.
I can't imagine what we could hear that would give us courage, especially in the middle of the night. Oh, tense, sir. What do we do now?
Just keep on going. There's a light in that tent.
Yes, sir. Someone just lit a candle.
Well, let's go closer. Now, quietly.
I just had to wake you up sometime.
I hear voices.
You frightened me.
Yes, they're coming from inside that tent.
Shh. Let's listen to them. Perhaps this is what God wanted me to hear.
It's no laughing matter. It's a terrible dream, I tell you. In it, I saw just as plain as day a loaf of barley bread. It was up there on the hill. It tumbled down right into camp. It struck a tent. And believe it or not, that small barley loaf overturned the tent so that it lay flat upon the ground.
I don't blame you for being frightened. The barley loaf must be Gideon and his small band of men camped up there on the hill. Under Gideon's hand is their God going to deliver us this day.
Yes, that's what I thought, too. What should we do about it?
Notify headquarters?
They should know about it.
They'd only make fun of us for being concerned over a dream.
What should we do?
Snuff out the candle and try to get some sleep.
Come, Fura. Back to camp. The Lord shall deliver Midian into our hand this very day.
Men of Israel, we are only 300 strong, yet God shall deliver into our hand the mighty army of the Midianites. Our plan of attack is simple. It will be effective because God is with us. Each of you has been given a trumpet and a torch concealed in an earthen pitcher. In three companies of 100 men each, we will approach the enemy camp from all directions. At the sound of my trumpet, you will all do exactly as I do. You will blow on your trumpets, and with a mighty shout,
hey, you sleep yet?
No, I can't get back to sleep.
Me either. That dream still bothers me.
I've been thinking about that dream of yours, and I just can't conceive of any possible way Gideon could win from us. He sent all his men back home, all except 300, just 300. Can you imagine any man, especially an officer as wise as Gideon's supposed to be, attacking our army with only 300 men?
You underestimate the power of Israel's God.
But how can a God, a man, anyone, win the war with only 300 men against our hundreds of thousands? I don't believe it can be done.
Yeah, I've been thinking, too. God caused me to have that dream for a purpose. But what purpose? To warn us of impending defeat? I doubt it. I have a feeling that my dream is connected in some way with Gideon's victory over us.
How could that possibly be?
I don't know, but Israel's God moves in mysterious ways, his will to perform.
There's something mystic, baffling about this whole thing. I don't know what, but something. I think maybe we'd better tell the prince about that dream of yours.
And be ridiculed? No, thanks. I'm going back to sleep.
What's that?
What?
I, I thought I heard something.
In the middle of the night, don't be ridiculous.
It could be Gideon sneaking up on us.
Now you are being ridiculous. Armies don't sneak up on the enemy in the darkest part of the night.
Shh. Listen.
Nothing but silence.
Ooh. An eerie silence. Scary. I can't stand this any longer. I'm going to warn the prince.
I'll go with you. Hey. You ready, eh?
I can't find my sandals. Light a light.
And get this sentry on our neck, no thanks.
Oh, here are my sandals. All right. Let's go. Ooh. It's just as dark out here as it was in the tent.
It's pitch black.
What's that?
Just trumpets. Probably someone in Gideon's camp.
Blowing trumpets at this time of night? There's something wrong.
Hey. Look, lights. All around our camp in every direction. It's Gideon. He's got us surrounded.
Surrounded? With only 300 men?
We probably didn't send those other soldiers home at all. I was just a blind, a foolish.
Yes, yes, you're right. Quick, let's get our swords and join the fight. Down, Gideon! Hurrah for the prince!
Take that, you Israelite!
You, it's me, your friend. You ran me through.
Oh, well, I can't tell who's who in this darkness. Just keep out of my way, whoever you are. Hurrah for the
The sword of the Lord smite the enemies of Israel. The sword of the Lord smite the enemies of Israel.
And in the darkness and confusion, the Midianites slew one another until 100,000 of them had perished. 15,000 under the command of the enemy prince escaped and fled toward the River Jordan. Gideon, with his 300 men still intact, though weary, took out in swift pursuit after the prince and his 15,000 soldiers. Gideon and his 300 men caught up with the prince, and there ensued a swift and decisive battle.
Men of valor, your attention, please. Men, you have fought well and bravely. God has given you victory over the enemy. The power of the Midianites is broken. Never again will they molest or make war upon us. Tidings of this victory will spread swiftly. When it reaches the ears of the other enemies of Israel, terror and fear will engulf them. They will marvel that our God used such simple means to prevail against such a powerful, bold, and warlike people as the Midianites. And now, you are dismissed. Go home to your families, to peace, to happiness.
Gideon was happy to once again be home.
I realize now that one doesn't appreciate home until he's been away from home. And his wife, too.
We missed you, Gideon.
Where are the children?
I sent them out to play.
Oh, I want to see them.
Oh,
let's
they'll
go
be so happy to see you. Gideon, dear, some men are at the front door to see you.
Who are they?
Representatives of the people.
Representatives of the people? What people?
Well, they didn't say.
Did they say what they want with me?
Only that they begged for an audience with His Majesty.
Audience? His Majesty?
Hadn't you better see who they are and what they want?
Yes, I had better.
Greetings, Gideon! Long may you live!
Phurah, what are you doing here?
We came to see you, sir. As representatives of the people.
What people?
Israel.
You don't represent Israel.
Not officially, no, but in spirit and intent, yes.
What do you want from me?
Gideon, you are a great man, a man of courage and valor. You have won the hearts of the people. You have driven...
Phurah, please state what you want, simply and clearly.
You've delivered Israel from the Midianites. Israel appreciates that, and, as a token, We are desirous of being governed by you.
Governed by me?
We propose to make you king. King of Israel.
Do you realize, Phurah, what you're saying?
Yes, sir. We are honoring the great service that you...
You are rejecting God.
Huh?
What you propose is in direct violation of the principles of this theocracy.
Well, we only wish you to govern us, to be our king.
My answer is no, definitely and positively no. I will not rule over you.
But Gideon,
no,
sir,
no. The Lord God is your king. He shall rule over Israel.
The Lord is my strength. He is my fortress and my deliverer, my king and my God. I will praise him forever and ever.